Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. All right, let's go. Welcome to the podcast, Harvey Pinney from Inspire, I want to say accounting.
If you said the accounting word too early in the podcast, people might tune out.
No, they'll stay. They'll stay forever. They need to know this. How about you introduce your wonderful, wonderful business and we can even talk about how it's evolving.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. It's so nice to be here. My name's Harvey Pinney and I run an accounting firm called Inspire. And we were just talking before we came online around sort of perceptions and branding. When we first launched our accounting business 4 or 5 years ago with my business partner, Ben, we were called Inspire CA. But do you know what CA stands for?
Yeah, Chartered Accountant. But yeah, it's not always, you know, first thing you want to kind of know about.
Yeah. And so there's a really strong perception in our industry that, oh, accounting equals boring. And so as part of our sort of transformation and realizing that accountants change lives, we thought, well, you know what, we're going to make that front and central to our name. So our name is formally Inspire Life-Changing Accountants. And so that gives us an opportunity to hopefully break some pigeonholes in terms of what people might perceive their accountant to be. But also in another perspective, it gives me and our team a kind of aspiration to live up to and making sure that we're not just, you know, just getting tax done for people, but realizing that we've got an amazing opportunity to change lives. So there's the story of our name.
It's very cool. And I love that it's emerging. I love that you're not, you're challenging yourselves about how to do things better and differently and with bigger impact. Despite the fact that you live in Queensland, I have never, ever seen you wearing a cardigan. There is nothing conservative. There is nothing staid about what you do. How would you describe the way you do accounting?
Yeah, well, I suppose when we first decided to start Inspire, the kind of status quo in the industry was most accountants are fairly reactive by just doing tax returns and financials. It's kind of like they're just looking through the rear vision mirror for business owners telling the story of what has happened in the past. And we thought, well, what if, by starting Inspire, we could help people look through the front windscreen and help them make smart financial decisions, build a beautiful future. And specifically, instead of recording on history, we'd love our clients to be able to make history. And write it and to be able to do some good for themselves, their team, their clients in the world, and ultimately get cashed up. So that's kind of the essence of why we started Inspire and the kind of heart that we bring to, you know, working with our clients.
So how do you work with clients?
Yeah, well, the essence of what we would love the outcome for our clients and all business owners to achieve is what I call the cashed up benchmark. And it's an aspirational goal for business owners that kind of takes into account some lifestyle goals, some financial goals, and maybe some future legacy goals. So do you mind if I share
the benchmark? I'm just sitting back and tuning in. Love it. Yeah, so it's all yours.
If this is the first time I've heard the benchmark, you might want to sort of scribble this down. But my goal for everybody listening is I want you to be working 4 days a week, which might mean you might say the terms, I don't work Fridays. And that could be the beginning of a really cool kind of lifestyle for you. The second part of the benchmark is I want you working 4 days a week and working 40 weeks a year, which kind of equates to about 8 to 12 weeks a year holiday, which I know I've been doing for like the last 7-8 years. And it's an amazing kind of gift, I suppose. And I never want to lose that. And that's kind of summarizes what we're putting into the business 4 days a week, 40 weeks a year. And I'd love for you to be pulling out 400K profits, which is a nice number. It's a great number to be able to fund a great lifestyle today, but also be able to make some smart financial decisions in the future. And so with that 400K, I'd love you to build $4 million in wealth, assets, net wealth, cash, cars, houses, property, whatever that may be. And personally, I don't know about you, Kathy, but I personally love this idea that my legacy won't just be what I can teach my kids and what they remember about the life that I live, but I'd love a financial legacy to last on for them, so they've got choices to do, you know, some more things in their life. And so I want that $4 million in wealth to last four generations. So the benchmark in total, working 4 days a week, 40 weeks a year, pulling 400K profit to build 4 million wealth, and I'd love that to last four generations. And my question back to you, Kathy, is how would that feel if that were a statement of your financial position or picture?
Oh, look, it's absolutely incredible, because what I love about that model is the perspective it gives you. It gives you perspective on what you do in your 4 days, it should, and it gives you perspective that 40 weeks is great, but that doesn't mean the business doesn't run on the other 12. So what is it going to take for that to happen? The 400K, well, throw the rocks upstream. What do we need on the top line to have that full 400 K sitting there? The 4 mil, yep. Nice round number. What's that going to look like in terms of time, money and joy and team and all of that stuff? And then the four generations, you know, intergenerational wealth is an interesting one. It seems to not polarize. You either really, really know it and understand it and are committed, or else it's never quite crossed your mind. So there's really, really powerful questions, I reckon, at every element of your model.
Yeah. Thanks for the feedback. And the reason why I put the effort into sort of clarifying that model is working with thousands of business owners, you know, as their accountants and advisors, we hear what business owners are articulating in terms of their goals. And unfortunately, a lot of the words that we would hear coming across the table is, oh, Harves, I just need to kind of get through this payroll, or I just need to kind of meet this tax bill that has just arrived that I didn't expect to be here. I just want to get this one, you know, big client over the line, and then everything will be fine. And so
I can't afford too much change right now.
Yeah. And so whether we're conscious of it or not, we're articulating all of our goals to ourselves and to, you know, whoever's around listening. And the funny thing about humans is we tend to get what we ask for.
Or think for.
Exactly. And so I wanted to sort of set the benchmark. It might feel aspirational for some listening, or it might be a stepping stone for others listening as well. But I wanted to find a way to kind of lift the standard, and hopefully we can focus our attention on, well, you know, if that feels great, then the question is how? So
let's go to the how.
Yeah, well, let's set some context. I was running some numbers past you the other day. There's about 2.1 million businesses in Australia right now. 90% of them are small, and 60% of those who are small either are unprofitable, don't pay themselves a decent salary, can't afford enough to engage a team, and three quarters are taking on debt simply to survive. And so the gap between those who are kind of hitting the cash up benchmark or maybe just financially successful and those who are struggling is quite large at the moment. And that's sad, but it's also gives us a choice, those who are listening, as to which group do we want to be part of. Do we want to be those who are successful financially, or do we want to be part of those who are struggling? And if the question is, or if the answer is success, then we've found that the only thing that stands in between those who are struggling financially and those who are, call it, cashed up is just a series of smart financial decisions. And if, you know, there was one takeaway in terms of the how, it'd be like thinking how many financial decisions am I making in my business and my life, and how many of them are good ones that move me towards my goal, and how many of them are not so good ones. And you know, I'm guilty of having made some not so good ones in my past and present as well.
All those decisions you're avoiding.
Yeah, totally. And so all of these things, if we now know the benchmark and that's a few steps away, every decision we make can kind of take us a step forward or backwards or nowhere in that context. So if we realize as business owners, we've all got our technical skills and expertise, we've got to, you know, be a great technician of whatever that may be, accounting, physiotherapy, psychology, whatever, then we've got our team management and sales marketing hats, but within the finance hats, if we can summarize it down to how we're making, what are the smart financial decisions we could be making, it's going to give us progress as a concept.
Which really sits with a future-focused view and future-focused conversation. And that's looking through the windscreen and having really robust and honest conversation with someone who can potentially see a bigger future than you can for yourself financially. And that's that point of difference you guys have from other accountants who are, well, let's meet and chat about the last financial year. Meanwhile, the entrepreneur's heart just breaks a little further.
Yeah, it's a failure. And the concept is, as you've sort of alluded to, whether it's with Inspire or any advisory team, you need to build a team of advisors, those who are really familiar with numbers, because whether we identify as numbers people or not, business is a numbers game. Yeah. And the scorecard is measured in numbers, and the ability to kind of win or lose that game is sort of a reflection of your ability to kind of command the numbers that can help you win. And so, yes, if you're a numbers person, you might be able to DIY, or it might make sense to partner with a great bookkeeper, financial planner, and or accountant who can be your numbers people and your numbers team, so we can, you know, win this game of numbers.
Yeah. I think at this point we should allude to the fact that you are an author. You and Ben have authored a book, and your comment about the DIY reminded me about the book, because there is a ton of information in there. Would you like to talk about that? I should really scrabble off stage and find my three copies of it. I've got two copies to give away.
That's so cool. Yeah, well...
of course he's got it there. That's good.
we wrote the book Cashed Up. It was 18 months ago that it was published. I remember that, Kathy, because we launched the book on Wednesday, and then on Sunday I became a dad for the very first time in my life. And so it was like two babies kind of came into the world.
The book baby.
Two babies in the one week, which is pretty exciting. But it outlines sort of seven steps to pull more money, time, and happiness out of your business. And really outlines the multitude of smart financial decisions that we could and should be making, and or that your accountant could or should be helping you make in your life. So you can go to cashedupbook.com and grab a PDF copy at no cost, and hopefully that'll be a nice sort of gift or kickstart to everybody's cashed up journey. So enjoy.
What sort of feedback have you had about the book?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. The greatest sort of feedback and transformations we've had around putting people back into the driver's seat, where for a long time it felt like business was happening to them or they were being run by the business. And, you know, for example, we've got a scorecard that just sort of outlines 40 questions, yes, no. That in essence seems so simple, but it outlines...
they're not. I've done that scorecard.
Yeah,
great.
It'll give you a score out of 40, and ideally 40 is great, and anything less than is some room for improvement. But the feedback is every one of those 40 questions, for example, are 40 ideas, 40 strategies, 40 sort of decisions that could be made that put people back in the driver's seat. And in business, we are in this vehicle called business. And we ultimately now know that we want to hit that destination of hitting the cashed up benchmark. And so, you know, the smart decisions that we make along the way and being in that driver's seat is going to help us kind of go there versus others who maybe blindly are driving through their business, not knowing what their numbers are, not knowing, you know, what challenges or opportunities are coming up on the road ahead, because that they kind of don't have that insight. Imagine, you know, driving on the highway at night with the lights off, like, you know, how do you know whether you're driving fast or slow or on the right track, or if there's
what's in front of you,
dangers ahead? And that's what numbers, although scary sometimes, that's the joy of what numbers can help reveal for us.
Yeah. And for those thinking, oh my gosh, this is a book written by an accountant. It's really well structured, I got to say. I don't think I've ever told you this. It's super, super well structured. It's completely a logical progression, and it's very conversational. So it's not pages and pages of graphs and diagrams and small words. It's bite-sized, it's chatty, there's questions all the way through it. And I've remembered where my copy is. It's actually beside my bed because I did your workshop the other week and I pulled it back out and went through. And there's one section I particularly like, and that's about the business structures and the diagrams you've got there and how you walk through at a very practical level the pros and cons of a sole trader. Not many pros there, just saying. The pros and cons of a company and the pros and cons of a trust structure as well. And that's just one of the best pieces of content I've seen about that. So
yeah, thanks, Kathy. I appreciate that. I hope it's not by your bed because it helps you fall asleep at night.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. No, it's not. It's got a fair few sticky notes hanging out the side. So yeah, we'll put a link to the show notes. So it is not the accounting type book that you're thinking.
Yeah, and maybe to give a taste, like we think about the 7 smart financial decisions of a cashed-up business, here's what they are. Number one is to cut tax, because in essence, it's impossible to get cashed up if you're giving half your profits to the tax man. And, you know, when I think about the Barnaby Joyces of the world, I don't feel inspired to give them a tip.
You really don't like that guy, do you?
So he's a common character that's easy to kind of relate with. So number one, cut tax. Number two, capture profits. Recognizing that we live in a world as human beings where we tend to spend everything that we have access to. So let's put some sort of protections in place around making sure we can capture that profit. And the third one, controlling cash flow. I know sometime in my business journey, it has been a bit of a roller coaster. And it hasn't just been a roller coaster in terms of where the cash flow has been up and down, but also my emotions kind of pegged to that. So the first 3 smart financial decisions are probably going to be the biggest kind of game changers in terms of helping us kind of reduce some of that cash flow related stress, cutting tax, capturing profit, and controlling cash flow. The remainder are really going to help us kind of accelerate and consolidate the journey. Number 4 is to check numbers. 5 is to crank our business value. 6 is to cover our assets, because as we get more and more
play
cashed
on words
up,
there, I got it.
Excuse me. The target on our back gets bigger, and the final and probably most important step is to create lifestyle. And why it should be the most important is that when we kind of prioritize what is it that we want to pull out of our business and what we want our business as a vehicle to help us achieve in life, the clearer we can be about that end goal, then we set the context. We realize that business is simply the vehicle. It's not our life. It's not the be all and end all. It's the way and the how we can achieve really great lifestyle, whether that's going out on regular date nights every week or going on an 8 to 12 weeks a year holiday or just something as simple as getting 8 hours a night's sleep. some of these lifestyle factors have been absolutely critical for business owners to be successful. And ironically, when we prioritize our lifestyle, business ends up being more successful. Whereas in reverse, when we put lifestyle and health seconds, I know this from personal experience, I've learned it the hard way. Our health suffers and then our business suffers and then our health suffers. And it's just a bit of a spiral, unfortunately. Yeah. So that'll give you a taste of what's in the book.
Yep. Love it. Love it. We'll put a big, bright link in there. Now, one of the additional extra awesome things you guys do at Inspire is you invest in the future of others. And your doors are open to make a global impact. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so to date, I'm really proud we've saved our clients over $10 million in tax and counting, which they use to reinvest back into growing their business and their families. And so I love the impact that we make across the table or across the desk. But I'm also really passionate about a giving initiative that we created called Day for Dollar. And it says that basically for every dollar of tax that we save a small business client, we give a day of access to food, water, health, and sanitation to a family in need. So really proud just to connect some of the dots there that as of today, we've given, not only have we saved our clients over 10 million tax, which is a great win, but we've given but we've also given on our clients' behalf over 10 million days of access to life-changing help to families in need in over 16 countries now. So, you know, those two numbers, make me really proud as a founder, but also our team realize that we're part of something bigger than just tax.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think we need to give a bit of a shout out to Paul and Masami and the B1G1 team on this one.
Yeah, so lots of times people go, wow, that's amazing. Like, how do you do that? What's the mechanics? And so let's talk about two hows. One is, how much do you think it costs for us to sort of fund something like this? Like, is that, a lot of people say, well, I'd love to give charity, but I'm trying to look after my own sort of finances first. But some of you may be surprised to know that you can give somebody the gift of access to water, for example, for as little as 1 cent US per day. And I find that pretty amazing, given that no matter what our current financial circumstance may be, and we're all on this cashed up journey together, I'm sure we can, within ourselves and within our relative abundance here in Australia, finds kind of access to 1 cent. And when business owners, I hope, can connect the dots on the power to maybe do some good at such, affordable or little amounts, it for me, it can become or feel quite empowering. So that's step one, the kind of call it the cost of it or the investment. And then step two, an amazing organization that has been headed by my mentors, Paul and Masami, called B1G1, which stands for Buy One, Give One, and a beautiful platform that enables business owners like you and I to go, hey, in my heart, I know I want to do good. but, should I go start a charity? I probably don't have the time or skills or expertise for that. Should I just go and research some local charities? But do I know if, the money's going to be managed well or if it's going to go to them? And so for me, B1G1 provided a beautiful platform or interface that they've vetted, hundreds of organizations and worthy causes from around the world. I pay a small sort of membership fee to be part of the group. And that means that 100% of my giving goes directly to the charity, and I'm so happy about that. So yeah, there's the shout out and the how behind.
Yeah, and how to embed it into your business activities.
Exactly.
When we sell tickets to our events, we contribute through B1G1 to water, and we actually forward invest in a lot of education programs and child safety programs.
So good.
At our last conference, we were able to put a couple of Cambodian women through a year of university.
Amazing.
With a few clicks, but with the intention that we're playing a bigger game. It's not just about us. It's, it's a collective here.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing about your business and others who we are connected to through B1G1 is recognizing that, we're kind of at this exciting time in history where, we can be at the intersection between our personal goals and our personal mission, our aspiration, and also express that throughout our businesses. And if we connect the dots to, doing good and getting cashed up, what we've learned and realized through our own business and those to whom we advise, it tends to be the businesses who do good who end up doing better financially. It's ironically the ones who are aiming for a purpose beyond profits that end up being more profitable, whereas it's the guys and gals who are just all about the money, it's the cash, it's the now, it's the quick buck, who tend to,
struggle out. Yeah,
and there's just not that special, element to things. So it's a beautiful thing in life when we can live true to our own values. And for those might be to give and do good and create a legacy for the future and for now. But for that to kind of add value to what we're doing in our own businesses and in our own enriching our own life experience, it's a beautiful win-win. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you and Ben aren't kind of doing this on your own. Your team is going from strength to strength. And your team are remarkable. How would you describe your team and what they get done?
Yeah, well, amazing group of people. And it has been fun. Like when we first started, it was me, Ben, and his sister who worked part-time. And now we've got an amazing dynamic team of 12 plus an amazing team internationally who help us out as well. And just realizing the power that we have as founders to create an environment whereby All of our team are high performers in business and outside of business. They're gold diggers in the sense that they want to achieve great things in their lives, their careers, financially, philanthropically. And so realizing that we've got an opportunity to help connect, let's say, one of our team members' personal values to what they achieve or what they have the opportunity to do in their own work, what it feels like, and this is the feedback I get from my team, is that they're not necessarily coming to work every day, which kind of sounds like, oh, thank God it's Friday or, you know, Monday blues. None of that kind of shows up in our business because they feel like they're part of something bigger and that there's a greater mission that we're on. A good example, we're at $10 million in proactive tax savings and 10 million days of life-changing help given to families in need. But our big goal is 1 billion days of life-changing help.
Not at all scary.
It's a little terrifying. Big, hairy, audacious goal.
You picked it.
Yeah, well, that goal sort of has a deadline. That's 2030. And here we are in the beginning of the amazing roaring 2020s, the decade of action. So we've got big work to do. And so helping our team realize exactly, not as a concept, oh, you're part of something bigger, but measurably know that every time they give advice to a client, if we can communicate it in such a way that we translate, you know, something we've done in numbers lands into what it means for them, either in tax savings or time savings or profit improvement, that gives the wonderful joy, because in all of our worlds, we're all making an impact with our clients. We just need to articulate it best. And for that sort of impact to sort of trigger a secondary impact around, you know, global giving, it ends up being quite a rewarding place to work.
Yeah. I was talking with a group of business owners on the weekend in a boardroom program that I run, and the word retirement came up, and it's not a word I like at all. And I think there's an absolute poverty of language around retirement. Beautiful. But that's just because I'm way closer to it than you, Harvey. But I think work needs some extra vocabulary around it as well. It's just such a, well, it's an ancient concept, but it really has a brand issue.
I love it. Who do we see about that?
I don't know. I think maybe we talk to Paul. I don't know. But imagine if we didn't come to work. Imagine if we kind of, you know, got sorted in the morning and thinking about the changes we're going to facilitate, or the impacts we're going to have, or the people we might help, or the difference we might make to a teammate's life or something. What, you know, where's all those words?
I know. And that's the sort of mission I'm on in our own business, is to help connect me and all of our team to this idea that accountants change lives. But couldn't it be true, Kathy, that we could have changed that word accountants change lives and put any profession in that space? Physiotherapists change lives, management consultants change lives, like whatever it is that we do, if we add this kind of life-changing element to it and ask ourselves the question, how could we live up to that statement and that belief, then we start opening up these doors like you're talking about now, where we're not just, you know, doing accounting as an example.
We're
really changing lives. And, you know, our mission is to become Australia's most impactful accounting firm, and that drives us to find ways that we can make the impact and articulate it. But my question back to everyone listening in is, let's say that was the mission of your practice. How would you measure that impact? What type of life-changing experience would you be able to deliver for your clients, and how could you track that of sorts, whether it's for your own team to get a sense of purpose and, you know, this feeling of fulfillment for why they show up to work every day. But if maybe we could even take that to another level and connect some sort of giving impact to, let's say, every time a client attends a workshop, every time a patient comes in for an experience or a service, what if something amazing happened on the other side of the world, giving, you know, a child access to water or education? Like, it ends up becoming a really exciting kind of time and opportunity when we start realizing that all of us in business change lives and impact if we have the courage to kind of think about ourselves that way.
Yeah. Oh, just magical. I'm going to give you the very last word. What would you like allied health business owners to be thinking about?
Yeah, there's four words, Kathy, if you don't mind. It's a bit of a mantra that I and my team live by, and it is this. It's inspire before you expire, and I'll explain the story. It was about 2.5 years ago, I was blindsided by cancer. I was 31 at the time, and no one wants to get cancer, right? But for the gentleman listening, I got cancer in a part of my body where we especially don't want to get it. And so sorry to say this, Kathy.
Just name it, Harvey.
I felt a lump in my left nut one day and kind of just brushed it off, thinking it was a bit of a touch footy accident or what have you, and thought it would clear itself up, and it didn't. And my sort of worst fears came true. And a week later, I was in hospital having that testicle removed and realizing that I had cancer and I needed to kind of prioritize my life and my healing. And I'm grateful for that experience. I'm still here, yay. I'm still alive and cancer-free 2.5 years later. And I've got a little baby girl, her name's Havana, and she's kind of a bit of a miracle baby, but a daily reminder to me that life is precious. But yeah, I had this moment on the bed thinking, man, like I'm 31 years old. My goal was to live till I'm 110. I literally have my plan mapped out in a spreadsheet, like a great little numbers person. And I sort of in this moment, I felt like that whole kind of house of cards was falling down on top of itself. And I asked myself the question that maybe I'd ask listeners to think or ponder themselves. And it was this, like if today was the last day of your life, would you be happy with what you've left behind? And if we can realize that the thing that actually makes us rich in life isn't money or dollars or cashed up, and it's crazy because, you know, that's the world that we live in, but realizing that the things that actually make us rich and actually make us wealthy are things like our family and that our family is our most important business, or our health, that ultimately our health is actually our wealth, or maybe our time is potentially our greatest gift and our greatest asset. And so hopefully with a refreshed perspective on what makes us rich in life, I could hopefully help people realize that one day we'll die. And it is a bit sad to kind of ponder and think about, but if we realize that that means that we've got an opportunity now to do something great with our lives, to hopefully live true to the words, to inspire before we expire. So
wonderful. Thank you so, so, so much. Great. Beautiful. Thanks a lot. We've got to make sure we get you back. We might get you and Ben back.
Be cool.
Chat on the podcast later in 2020. You up for it?
It'd be amazing. Thank you so much for that.
Alrighty. Thanks a lot, Ben. Thanks a lot, Harvey.
All good, Kathy.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.